Thank you. Krishna, Krishna, tonight we're going to speak about Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because everyone likes mercy, everyone likes that things that are the most valuable be freely given. Now you all know that in the material world there's no free lunch. Even what's apparently free always has a price attached. Those of you who are experienced in living in this world, you know that there's always strings attached to something. You just can't get away free. Even so-called free love has so many binding conditions. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. To be a conditioned soul means to live in a world of conditions. As long as there are conditions, there cannot be true happiness. Now, none of you here has something against happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. But we must realize, as long as we are expressing ourselves as conditioned souls, that means in a world of conditions, there cannot be true happiness. As long as our attempts for happiness, and even the so-called happiness itself, is bound by conditions, then you don't have the real thing. You just have the opposite of material distress. You know how there are the dualities of material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Te Tanga Moha Nirmukta Bhajate Mam Jitavata. With determination, we should rise above the dualities of illusion and render devotional service. So, the dualities of illusion are not simply hot, cold, pain, pleasure, wealth, poverty. The dualities of material existence mean happiness, distress. And you all know Narada Muni's famous verse, Tasyadi Vaheto Payate Kovita Nalabhyateya Ramatam Yatar Upayada. Someone who's actually intelligent. That means someone who's a kavi, tasyaiva, eto, prayate to kovita, someone who's actually a kavi. They will not endeavor for anything that's available in all of the three worlds, from the lower planetary system through the middle, up to the upper planetary system. An actually intelligent person will not endeavor for anything found in the material cosmos. We should think about it. What does it mean to be actually intelligent? Surprisingly, in Kali Yuga, there are very few scholarly people. We don't consider as a scholar someone who has a high position at a university or some degree, but meanwhile, they're addicted to media, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. We don't consider such persons to be scholars. A real scholar is someone who can understand the basic situation of life. What should I endeavor for? Why should I waste this human form of life endeavoring for something that is contained within the three worlds? Narada Muni says, don't endeavor for that. Why? Is Narada Muni being fanatical? Is he being rigid?
No.
His faces are full of deep insight. Talam vise dukkava anyata sukham. No one prays for distress. Many of you here pray for distress? Comes before the deity, oh Lord, give me distress. Anyone know that? Still, distress comes into your life. Similarly, narrowly, just like you don't endeavor for distress, but it comes uninvited, similarly, you don't have to endeavor for your material happiness, your sukha. It'll come uninvited. Now, this is a hard thing to grasp. It seems so natural, endeavor for happiness. This is the conditioning that's instilled in us. Accept the bad things that happen in life and constantly strive for good things, for material happiness. But the fact is, if you did not endeavor in the slightest for your material happiness, you would still get exactly what you're supposed to get from your previous life, based on your activities in your previous life. That is the way nature works. In this life, you're simply, if you're living a material life, shaping your next life. But all the happiness and distress you're going to get in this life is already predetermined, precisely. This doesn't mean everything that happens in your life is predetermined. No. But what it does mean is that the amount of happiness and distress that you get is predetermined. Let us say, materially speaking, you have a headache. Now, you think, I have a headache. I'll just go to the corner store, I'll get some aspirin, and that'll take care of my headache. Have you actually changed your quota of distress? No, because that distress will come to you another way. That's why the Shastra talks about shifting the burden from one shoulder to another. You're carrying something on the right shoulder and you get tired. So you think, what a great solution it would be to transfer the burden to the left shoulder. Your basic problem remains the same. It just comes to you in a partially different way. So there's actually no material solution to the problem of material distress. You can just change how it comes to you, but it must come to you. That is predestination. Your happiness and distress is exactly calculated. Meanwhile, as you are experiencing your happiness and distress from your past life, by your present actions, you are shaping the happiness and distress in your next life. So at every moment, you are simultaneously bound by your past, and you are creating your future. This is what goes on in the world of conditions. We all have this urge for unrestricted happiness. This is the hope of teenage years. You remember when you were teenagers, you had dreams of unrestricted happiness. You thought that's what all the adults have. I can't wait till I'm a teenager. Remember when you were little kids and you thought, oh, when will I finally be older and I have independence? What you're really longing for is pleasure without restriction. But that's never grasped by the conditioned soul because we live in a world of conditions. All the dreams for limitless happiness, boundless happiness, are always unfulfilled. That's why you have to take birth again. Because the desires are not fulfilled. This is the duplicity, the deception of material nature. By contact with material nature, karma, buddha, sangha, sarasa, yogi, simply by contact with material nature, by the conditioned soul, you're filled with material desires. Then what are the nature of those desires? They cannot be fulfilled. So you have to take birth again to fulfill desires that cannot be fulfilled. And how did you get those desires? By contact with material nature. This is the duplicity that's going on. This is the deception. That's why it's called Maya. You are afflicted with desires which cannot be fulfilled, and then you have to take birth again to fulfill desires which cannot be fulfilled. You have to take birth again to fulfill desires which cannot be fulfilled. So in this way, by your activities as a conditioned soul, you simply push on the wheel of repeated birth and death. But you think we're making progress. We are advancing. And all that's going on is the wheel of repeated birth and death is turning by your labor. Your labor is pushing the wheel of repeated birth and death, the very thing that causes your restrictions and impediments to your happiness. It's powered by us and our desires. It's a very hard thing to actually blame yourself for your situation. And it is not the nature of Maya to grant you insight into your life. If you're waiting for the learning experience for Maya, you're going to be waiting a long time. Maya covers. You can't see the cause of your distress. Sometimes you get so weary after being beaten by Maya that you think there must be something else. But just that weariness instilled by the loose energy is not enough to get you out of the ocean of illusion. You need contact with the merciful devotee of the Lord. Simply being weary, tired of material existence is not enough. It's a preliminary qualification. As you know, Lord Chaitanya is the property of the materially exhausted. But you have to approach the devotee of the Lord. And then your weariness in material existence makes you a good candidate for Krishna consciousness. Another thing that we want, besides limitless, boundless pleasure, is that we all would like the greatest thing for free. You know how the feeling is. Sometime in your life, you got something that you like very much without paying for it, without trying for it. It was such a wonderful feeling. I got it for free. What a deal. Everything I wanted. Who is telling me something about it? Oh, what's his name? Tanish. He was telling me how he was struggling so hard to finish his schoolwork because he has to work while he's going to university, so to pay his fees. So it was such a hard endeavor, going to university full-time and working and then practicing Krishna consciousness too. He was doing all these three things. So he had still some coursework left, or some practical job training, or something like that. And he went to find out about his studies. Okay, I'm almost finishing. Is everything in order? And he found out that the university had overlooked that he hadn't done some requirements. So he was so happy. Wow. I've gotten away. They said, you're graduated. You're finished. Indeed. Of course. You get such a nice feeling. Wow, I got something for free. Now, what is the greatest thing you can get for free?
That is Lord Chaitanya's mercy.
Lord Chaitanya's mercy makes Krishna easily available in this degraded age. Ordinary devotees have a right to think, how will I ever be Krishna conscious? All around me is degradation. I was taking lunch at one of our congregational members' house today. They were thinking, maybe we should go back to India, just like Gudimanta. Our children, how can we raise them? They're 8 and 12 years old. What will become of them in this environment here? Yes, everyone is concerned. What to do? So many young Australians come here. They're concerned. Yes, I would want to be Krishna conscious, but the atmosphere is so intense for material downfall. I don't know if I can resist. Half of me wants to. The other half of me might want something else. This way people are torn in two. They know that they cannot be happy in the dear life, but something pushes them to try anyway. Power of mind. The strength of the illusory energy is so great that even if you've been burned in the past, still you'll walk into the fire again. You'll just, yeah, I know if I walk into the fire I'll be burned, but you know, everyone else is doing it. What can be done? I mean, it just seems to be the thing to do, to walk into the fire. Yes, there's a part of me that wants to be Krishna conscious, but there's another part of me that just wants to walk into the fire like everyone else. After all, mother is there in the fire, father is there in the fire. The whole neighborhood is burning in the flames of material existence. I think I should be there too. It's hard resisting the blazing flames of material nature. Why should I be one of the few persons who's not burned to ashes? Yes, remember the story I told you when I was a little boy? About how my father took all the kids to the airport. Do you remember? This is New York, what's called, now called JFK. So my father put all the three children in the car, and on a Sunday afternoon he drove to the edge of the airport. There's a road surrounding the airport, and just before the airport, the planes land, they pass right over this road and touch down on the other side. So people would park their cars on the side of the road and face the oncoming airplanes as they landed. And the planes, of course, were coming in so low because they're going to land on the other side of the road that like their wheels would practically seem like they're just a meter above your head. And during the peak time of landing, like in the evening, especially Sunday evening, there would be every 60 seconds a plane would be landing. So people would just stand and face the oncoming planes and just feel the thrill of being part of technological progress. So when I go, so I remember me and my brothers, my sister and my father, we sat with our backs to the park car facing the oncoming plane. Finally, after 10 minutes, I had enough. So I just got back into the car. I remember my father grabbing, "No, no, no. We're all going to stand out here together." Yeah. In other words, don't be a smart aleck, you know. you think there's something unsafe, well, even if there is, we're all going to go through it together as a family.
I never forgot. He actually, I saw him, he got irritated, agitated by it. Wait a minute.
If you think there's something not safe about this, never mind. Still, stand out here with us as a family. Don't try to escape. If there's danger, we're all going to experience it together. I never forgot that. I was thinking, this is not the way I want my life to go. The nature of the illusory attraction is such that even if we have some higher impulses, some higher strivings, it all becomes neutralized, and we can't understand why. Why is it that I can't act according to my highest aspirations? What's holding me back? What holds us back is the lack of association so that we can receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya's mercy especially comes through the association of devotees. That's why Lord Chaitanya is the hero of the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means congregational glorification of the Lord. In the association of devotees, you suddenly realize it is possible. It can be done. I've got a plan. You all remember how that happens in the association of devotees. Whereas when you're on your own, I got the books on my shelf. Yeah, I got some pictures on my wall. But I don't know. It's difficult. And because you have to associate with someone, your friends, your associates become materialists. Human beings are social animals, so you can't live alone. And so you gradually surround yourself with those who have materialistic values. And you begin to see good things in them.
Yes.
I know that they're materialists, they're not devotees, but they have some good qualities. It's not as bad as what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What you are seeing is honor amongst thieves. You know, some thieves steal something, and then they say, let's go back to our hideout and divide it honestly. When we divide the stolen goods, let's show good quality. That's what we're looking at. We make such a big thing about it. The reason why the Bhagavatam says, yes, just the hook here, Bhagavati Adinshana, Sarvai Vinash Takta, for one who renders devotional service to the Lord, all the good qualities of the demigods develop in that person. But for those who are abhaktas, non-devotees, how can there be good qualities? Because they are caught in the external, driven through the mind by the external energy. How can there be good qualities? Only if you consider that there's honor amongst thieves. Let's say if you're looking for how nicely two adulterers treat each other, how sensitive they are toward each other. One man's wife runs off with another married man, and then they treat each other honestly, they have face-to-face talks. So you would glorify that. Yes, they're communicating very nicely. Yes, they're being honest with each other. Very considerate of your being to each other. No, you would say, look at this situation. This is abominable. So that is the same as our looking at the activities of those are caught in the illusory energy and seeing, oh, there's some good quality. For example, you have now the President of the USA declaring for the captured dictator, he should face the death penalty. Meanwhile, he's from Texas, big cattle farming state. There's so many cows are killed. But he's pointing the other that you should get the death penalty for crimes against humanity. Where are the good qualities? Halal, justice, control, love. Who can say this one is right, this one is wrong? All you can say is maybe this one is more of a thief than the other one. This one's more of a terrorist than the other one. Why should we have to make that choice? Where is true honesty? True honesty begins by being, by recognizing we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Now that doesn't mean everything a devotee does is perfect. There are different levels in devotional service. I know sometimes new devotees come to Krishna consciousness, escape from the horrors of the material world, and then you walk in the door and you see everyone is brilliantly effulgent, everyone is shining, and you think, oh, everyone here is a perfect saintly person. And then what happens? You stumble across your first disappointment, your first discrepancy. Someone doesn't treat you rightly, or someone's inconsiderate, and you're shattered. Oh, I thought everyone here was a paramahansa. There are different levels of devotee. Krishna consciousness is a hospital for persons to get over their material disease. In a hospital, you're going to find some germs, but the expert doctors keep the hospital as pure as possible. Nevertheless, the purpose of a hospital is to take on patients, people who are sick. And not all patients follow the doctor's orders. Nevertheless, for the serious patient, there's a chance to be completely free of disease. In the association of devotees, Lord Chaitanya's mercy can be easily accessed by you. You see possibilities in the association of devotees. You see, I can be Krishna conscious. I can chant Hare Krishna. I can engage in devotional service. You feel encouraged, nurtured. And then you can start to plan your life properly. In the association of devotees, your intelligence starts to work for how to go back to Godhead. That particular intelligence is given by Krishna. Acting from within your heart, because he's pleased by your proper association, the Lord inspires you with a vision how to live your life for the ultimate. And then you feel very encouraged about that. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Kesham Ivanakam Padam Amayanajam Tamala Nasyami Akabhavasta Janadipaya Vaspada. Out of compassion for you, I, from within your heart, will turn on the lamp of knowledge and dispel the darkness of ignorance. This is reciprocation. Krishna's telling you what he's going to do. Krishna's saying, I know you can't see all the problems in your heart, so I personally will turn on the light inside your dark heart, and you can see what's causing you problems. Seeing the enemy is half the way to victory. Once you see the enemy, then you can do something about it. By associating with devotees, we can see it's possible to be Krishna conscious. We see that others are becoming Krishna conscious. Therefore, we feel, I can also be Krishna conscious. Even amidst this age of color,
It's a very glorious thing to see the possibility for spiritual perfection, even amidst the age of covenant. How does this vision come to us? It comes through the congregational glorification of Krishna. Just by sitting down and hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, possibilities develop in us. Yes, I can do this kind of service. Yes, I can do that. I can improve in this way. I can improve in that way. That's bliss. What do you think transcendental bliss is? It's like someone tickling me.
Get effect Christmas service. Maybe if I worked a little harder, they'll notice, they'll give me a higher position with more resources, and I can use that for Christmas service. All right, I'll work a little harder. Well, maybe it doesn't make any difference whether I work hard or not. I'll still get the same pay. And I won't work harder. Nobody's thinking, how will this reflect upon my devotional service and the possibility of serving Krishna? That's what makes a devotee's life exciting. You are for real. You're dealing with reality. This is the evidence of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that even in this dense darkness of the age of coming, it's possible for persons to think of possibilities in Krishna's service, make a plan, and achieve those possibilities. Krishna likes that devotees are enlivened in pursuing possibilities, just like when Lord Chaitanya was leading his sankirtan parties throughout. For some time, the devotees of the Lord were feeling discouraged and beat down because the Chanhali had ordered them harassed. Lord Chaitanya did not like to see that. His devotees were feeling oppressed, repressed. He ordered them, don't worry about the Chanhali. Go everywhere and perform sankirtan. The devotees would do that, but still they were worried, even though they carried out Lord Chaitanya's order to make sankirtan processions throughout Navadvipa, but still they were in anxiety. Krishna Kaviraj Goswami said they were in anxiety, even though they're executing the order of Lord Chaitanya. So then what did Lord Chaitanya do? He said, okay, I'll personally lead the sankirtan party, because he wanted to give the devotee that feeling of conviction and determination. The Lord Chaitanya personally led the sankirtan party. And thousands of people came, and they all marched on the Chanhali's house. Thousands of people singing Hare Krishna. Haraye Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govindaram, Shimari Krishna. That was a favorite song of Lord Chaitanya. In order to give his devotees determination, Lord Chaitanya personally led them, showing that he likes that his devotees are progressive in his service, that they're assertive. Because of Lord Chaitanya's presence, it's described in the Shastra that the Mohammedans in Navadvipa were wondering what's going on. Previously, these people, these Vaishnavas, were very docile, very beat down and discouraged. Now they are coming out with assertiveness and life. What's happened? They notice. We can meditate on this pastime of Lord Chaitanya, marching on the house of the Chandra. The devotees, very animated, assertive now, because Mahaprabhu was at the lead. They were so assertive and forthright that when they got to the Chanhali's house, some of them actually they were so fired up and enthusiastic, they just lost track of themselves and started wrecking the Chanhali's garden, wrecking the outside of his house. To the right house, and they were just, what would you say in Australian, what would be the word to describe it here? Fired up, unruly, when a mob gets a bit unruly, what do you call it?
Huh?
Yeah, they're running amok. Vaishnavas running amok. They were Spirit's enthusiastic. They didn't care for the chastising. They didn't care for so-called law and order. Because Lord Chaitanya was there, they were feeling assertive. Lord Chaitanya, however, kept his cool, showing how even in situations like that, potentially a potential clash, Lord Chaitanya kept his cool. He sat down and he asked, bring the Chaitanya here. And they prepared a respectable seat for the Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya showing, even in such a delicate situation, always do things in the proper way. So, throughout our day, we should be conscious how we're serving Krishna and his apostle because of Lord Chaitanya. And we should allow the association of devotees to fill us with the possibilities in Krishna's service. Just like when you're associating with non-devotees, your head fills with Maya plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to achieve that. I'll go traveling. That'll do it for me. See different cultures. I hear this so many times in preaching. I'm going to do a bit of travel, see different cultures, see how people live in other parts of the world. I think that'll build my character, that'll make for personal development. So that's the kind of vision we get by associating with those who are immersed in material energy. We see material opportunity when actually there's none. It's the same old stone wall of material life that you're banging your head against. No matter your education, no matter your work, no matter how you entertain yourself or travel, it's the same old stone wall. You're banging your head against again and again. And in the association of those who are absorbed in the internal potency, the devotional energy, you see possibilities. By Lord Chaitanya's grace, you see possibilities for Krishna's service and how you can be a genuine servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanasti Mahabhata, Taitin Prakritamashtana, Pajamkyananyamanasa, Gyatjavamutana. The Mahatmas, the great souls, take shelter of my internal potency. And that internal potency inspires them in devotional service to the Lord. And the super soul in the heart allows you to see everything in Krishna consciousness as it is, increasingly fresh. You can live in the same building for 25 years. You can even do the same service for a quarter of a century and you'll still see everything fresh. I have one Gaga who's been doing the same thing since I first knew him in 1973. It's 30 years ago. His name is Yamaraj Das. He lays out the graphic design for Bhakti Gaga magazine. 30 years, the same thing. But the super soul from within the heart of the devotee allows that devotee to see an unlimited world of spiritual expression. When a materialist looks at that devotee, how could you do this? Same thing every day. I mean, I may have to do that because I'm forced to, driving a bus day after day, or working in a factory or an office day after day. But you have a choice, and you're volunteering to do the same service every day for 30 years. Of course, nowadays, in the mundane world, it's not often that people can do the same thing for 30 or 40 years because the job market is so precarious. It's like wherever I go around the world, we run this story about, you know, Friday. Friday, and it's time to let people go. It's time to tell them they don't have a job anymore. I explain to Alvy. The managers wait until Friday to let terminate the people, because then the other staff has over the weekend to cool down. They'll get drunk over the weekend or this or that, and they'll forget all about it. But whereas if you terminate the people on Monday, then you know you've got so many days for the staff to be agitated. Why are you letting people go? Am I next? But you do it on Friday, and then they just forget. By the time Monday comes around, their heads are all hungover. So I explain the reactions. Maybe it's one of the middle managers who have dedicated quarter of a century to the company, and they leave work, they leave home, say goodbye to the family, the kids are going off to school, you know, say goodbye to the wife, and make that same drive to work that they've been doing for 10, 20 years. Walk in on Friday morning, last day before the weekend. Man, how you doing? Good day. Get to their desk, and then they get a message from their superior. Please come in. Then they find out. That's it. That's the end. He was telling me some of them are so devastated they have to have someone else drive them home. They're just shattered completely. You can imagine, you leave your kids Friday morning, they're going to school, you leave your wife, and then you have to come back home hour later and tell them, I have a good job. This is the fulfillment that material nature gives. These are the reality. So it's rare that these days of downsizing and redundancy that someone can do the same thing for 10 years, 20 years. In Krishna consciousness, it is possible, and such a devotee will be satisfied. I know some of the younger devotees, they're thinking, they're wondering, what will I be doing 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Will I still be here? Will I still be in the same situation? Physically, you will be, but internally, spiritually, you'll have gone through so many transformations. And the super soul from within your heart allows you to see newer and newer visions of freshness. That is all the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who manifests the unlimited glories of Krishna consciousness, even in the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. Any questions? We don't want that kind of passion. We want dedication, the energy for doing something which will have effects on our Krishna consciousness, on our seva. If, for example, by your opening a business, it's going to have an effect on your service to Krishna in a beneficial way, then do it. As a householder, your style of living is different than a brahmacharya or sannyasi. So if by opening a business, it allows you to have a devotional lifestyle and raise your family in devotion and help expand the Krishna consciousness movement, then by all means,
in the business. And depend on Krishna. How do you depend on Krishna? By always chanting Hare Krishna. The main problem that is there in the Grihastha ashram, more so than other ashrams, is that one becomes so busy that the householder drops the hearing and chanting. But you chant your japa, and then do your family maintenance. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in one of his songs. He says, he's singing to Krishna. He says, I will certainly take a job and earn money to support your family. Manasadeva gave me Nandakishore, whatever I have, mind, body, home, it's all yours. So I will certainly get a job and earn money to support your family. As soon as you consider the family Krishna's, then you get a different vision. What else does he say? He says, I'll be like a dog outside the door of your house, protecting your family. Arjuna, how's he going to fight unless he's enthusiastic? That's why Krishna told him, Mama Nusma Yujavacha, fight and think of me. In other words, get into it. But the results belong to Krishna. Yeah.
You spoke about the importance of associating with devotees, and if you do associate with non-devotees, there's reason for saying that material desires might come up. What if material desires still seem to be coming up even while associating with it?
They're coming out. Just like when you wash clothes, the dirt comes out. There's nothing wrong with a career of cleansing ourselves. The process does work. I can tell you after 30 or so years of Krishna consciousness, it's amazing. The process does work. Now when I, for example, pick up Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I've read so many times, every time I finish it, the process does work. You feel the mango becoming ripe. You get the taste of the ripening mango. How many births did it take for us to pollute ourselves? Countless. So what's wrong with spending a little time cleaning yourself? Patience with sadhus and tolerance. Enthusiasm, patience, and determination. Let them know that you care. Everyone likes to be appreciated. At the same time, you have to understand, you know, people are making their choices. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink. So you do your best, but, you know, people are making their choices. They're making their decisions. So, by reaching out to them, you'll learn the skill of how much to contact them, how much to leave them.
tonight. Anything? Yeah.
When most of us practice in Christian culture, how do we develop steady nature so that we don't become excited when something nice happens to us and morose when something doesn't?
Come what may, be attached to trying to hear all the words every day. And one becomes properly, securely, stably situated in yoga, bhakti yoga. There's great strength in regulation. Every day, have your program chalked out and stick to it. Some days, because the nature of this world is disturbing, some days there will be an upsetting of your plans. But still, have a plan and try to go on with your plan for the day most of the time. I'm going to chant nicely in the morning, and I'm going to do some reading at this time. I'll do my family duties. Then you'll begin to appreciate that steadiness and stability more than the coming and going of the happiness and the stress. Then you know the mode of goodness is at least there, at least the mode of goodness. You start to appreciate just stability and steadiness, not just the onslaught of sukha, material happiness. Wow! Oh, how happy I am. Then it goes away. Oh, how sad I am. Then it goes away. That's why the shakra describes not only material distress and disturbance, but the shastra describes material happiness as agitating. It's a disturbance. Oh, I'm so happy. Then it goes. That's the one of the main diseases. You get an association of those who are not attached to the devotional energy. You see that they are so vulnerable to the attacks of material happiness and distress. And you get that same disease also. Oh, I'm just not feeling good today. Oh, I'm really feeling good today. And you catch that disease. It seems to make sense to you. Yes, of course. Happiness, distress, super duper. Serious stuff. Devotee doesn't think it's so innocent because of the stability, the steadiness in devotional service. That becomes the treasure which far exceeds sukha, dukkha, happiness and distress. Happiness may be there, distress may be there, but where is my service to Krishna? That becomes the reality. The taste of that sweet mango just increases and increases. So much so you forget about material happiness and distress. Lord Chaitanya is capable of causing that to happen. His Sankirtan movement caused you to forget about material happiness and distress.